Shmuel Beis Perek Tezayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the terrible and awful advice of Achitofel to Avshalom, who has asked his elders for counsel as to what he should do now that he's in control of the city of Jerusalem and the palace that the king has abandoned. Vayomer Achitofel el Avshalom. So Achitofel tells Avshalom, Bo el pilagshe avicha asher hi niach lishmor haboyes. Have relations with your father's concubines, whom he left behind to care for the house. It's just terrifying. 10 women who are maternal figures to somebody who's raised in the palace. He is being told to force himself upon them. This is appalling. This is just unethical in the extreme, and defile his father. V'shama kol Yisrael ki nevashto es avicha, and then when all of the Jewish people hear that you have nevashta es avicha, humiliated your father, is one translation, become odious to your father, is another one. V'chazku yidei kol asher itach, this will strengthen the hands of all who are with you. Now, the Chazal make a connection here as I record this right around Parshas Vayetze, Vayishlach. The Torah tells us that Reuven, the firstborn of Yaakov, moved his father's bed. And there's a question about whether he was with Bilhah, the concubine, the not complete wife of Yaakov Avinu, in some pshat. And in Divrei Yamim, it says that after acting in such a way, his birthright was taken away. His Bechorah was given to Bnei Yosef rather than him. So when Achitofel is counseling his leader, his employer, to act like Reuven in the lowest point of Reuven's life, the sinful moment, and again, there's a lot of pshatim on what Reuven actually did, but the pasha to pshat is that he did something similar, and to do it in such a way that the public would know about it. How Avshalom could possibly take such advice that would make him seem pretty despicable in the eyes of the public is sort of astounding. And the Me'am Loes tells over based on Midrashim that Avshalom was completely astounded. He was just flabbergasted by this advice that he should do it. And Achitofel says, well, there was a nevuah. You know, Nasan Hanavi told David that somebody from within his household was going to take his wives. So that's you. So Avshalom is thinking about it, and it makes him seem more kingly that he can take these women and make them his. But what a terrifying thing. Achitofel's also using language that is carefully chosen. Asher hi niach, David left them behind. Maybe if he left them behind, he knew about the prophecy and he was okay with it. And then by saying that it's going to strengthen the hands of everybody who is with you, that shows that strengthening the hands is what's important. You're not going to reconcile with David. You're committing an act from which there is no turning back. So it's going to be clear that you will not ever give up the throne. So v'chazku yidei kol asher itach, it's going to make you seem strong. And Avshalom is 40 years old. He's not a young, wet behind the ears, inexperienced guy. He should have been able to see through some of this. And yet, Avshalom is very self-centered about his ambition. And he's very focused on what he believes he deserves. And maybe he was very sheltered, always living within the king's family. Always living, as we've said before, in a way where David didn't kind of raise his hand against his children to stop them or gainsay them when they did anything that seemed already rebellious. What Achitofel's intent to do here is to turn Avshalom permanently against David and to do something, again, as I said, from which there is no turning back. This way, when David does come back, he and Avshalom, Achitofel is hoping, are going to kill each other. Or maybe he'll kill David. And eventually, the way it will work is that the Malchus will transfer from David to Avshalom. Avshalom will do the unthinkable and be rejected by the Jewish people. And that's how his dream of a leprous Amma is going to make Achitofel the king of the Jews. Ultimately, it's his own hunger for power that is motivating Achitofel as well. So except for David HaMelech, a lot of the primary people in this particular incident are all only out for themselves, which is a great and terrible lesson about ambition and hunger for power and how far it can drive somebody from his Jewish ethics, from his morals, from what he knows is right. I mean, this is, you know, Yehari Val Yavar territory when you start raping one's father's companions. There's just no turning back. And remember, he had originally had his brother Amnon killed for forcing himself upon a woman. So in some ways, Avshalom is becoming that which he has despised himself. He is becoming the abuser that he was so self-righteously defending against back the first time that we met Avshalom. This is a pretty terrible thing. And Achitofel, for having suggested this, is a pretty terrible person. And there will be a comeuppance for everybody involved. On the other hand, we're meeting here somewhat more anonymous underlings that we would not have seen the true value and nobility of spirit that they have, like Hushai Ho'arki and Itai Hagiti. We're meeting some people here who are really noble examples of people who are loyal and moral. But we're also meeting people in power who are the opposite.